Well, I invite you to grab your Bibles and open up to our scripture reading. We have three passages for you this morning. The first two are just a couple of verses. We will start in John 14, 6, and 7, which is the theme verses for the series that we're doing right now. And then we'll go to Proverbs 14, 12, and then Galatians chapter 5. Jesus said to the disciples, particularly to Philip, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." It's the verse that we're working through over the course of this series. This morning, we particularly look at the way. And to get us started, we will look at Proverbs 14, verse 12, where the Proverbs say, "There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death." And now turning to the book of Galatians, chapter 5, starting in verse 13, reading to the end of the chapter. "For you were called to freedom, brothers and sisters, only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word, 'You shall love your neighbor as yourself.' But if you bite and devour one another, watch out that you are not consumed by one another. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh, for these are opposed to each other, to keep you from doing the things you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God indeed. Well, as I said this morning, we are continuing our early summer series, The Way, the Truth, the Life. It's a look at the verses we started out with, John 14, verses 6 and 7, and the profound statements Jesus makes about himself. In these two short verses, Jesus frankly says some confounding things about truth, life, purpose, salvation. It was countercultural when he said it 2,000 years ago. It is still even countercultural today, perhaps even more so. In fact, in many respects, we need these words of Jesus in these verses more today than ever before. Last week, we saw that in a world of limitless options, there has only ever been one: Jesus. Now, I find it interesting, as I've been looking into this verse, these verses more and more over the last month or so, that Jesus starts out his answer to Philip. Philip, who asked the question, how do we know which way to go? He starts out his statement with the way. He says, "I am the way." So often, I think we tend to want to start out with what we're supposed to believe. How are we supposed to think? We start with our doctrines and with truth, and then we move from there to how we're supposed to live based on those truths. But Jesus, he doesn't do that. He starts with how we are to live, the way we are to be with one another. You know, one of the hallmarks of the current age in which we live is best summed up by, well, frankly, by Frank Sinatra, who's famous for crooning, "I did it my way." But is my way the best way? Well, often the way we can determine whose way is the best way is by looking at the results of their life, the fruit of how they've lived. As we look at our passage this morning, we will see that when we follow the way of Jesus, we find a freedom that enables us to truly love our neighbors as ourselves. Let's take a moment and pray. Lord God, we come before you this morning to worship you and praise you, to thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, the Word incarnate, to thank you, Lord, for your Word recorded and written in the Holy Scriptures, revealed to us through your apostles, through your prophets, through the saints of old, and through your Son himself and what he did and what he said. Lord, we do desire in our inconsistent meandering to follow after your way. Lord, this morning, we would see Jesus. We would follow in his footsteps. Would you open our hearts, our souls, our minds to be filled by your Spirit so that we can learn the way of Jesus in this world today? In your Son's name we pray. Amen. We talked last week a little bit about how we live in an age where there's practically an infinite number of options for where we can go to find purpose, meaning, truth, an unlimited number of choices for us to use to choose how we should go about living our lives. Go to any school, well, when schools were open, and you'll hear teachers and counselors telling the students of all ages that they could be anything they want to be. All they have to do is work hard and put in the effort, put their mind to it, and they can be anything they want to be. It wasn't always this way. Just a few hundred years ago, and most of your choices were made for you. If your dad was a farmer or a blacksmith, most likely that's what you were going to be as well. Most of your choices were determined by where you were born socially, economically, and even geographically. It's only been in about the last 250 years or so that this has radically changed. While the social and economic circumstances of our lives and our families still play a significant role, the reality is that you pretty much can be or become whatever you'd like to be. We have, in so many respects, been set free from the constraints that previous generations had to live under. But are we really as free as we think we are? And is that freedom as much of a benefit as we think? There is a pervasive belief today that in order to be truly free, there must necessarily be a complete and utter absence of anything that might hold you back or hinder you in your life. Now, this is a somewhat reasonable conclusion, given that if you look up the word freedom in the dictionary, you will see that the New Oxford American Dictionary defines freedom as the power or right to act, speak, or think as one wants without hindrance or restraint. So, here we are in 2020, in our day and age, and we believe that if there is a way that seems right to you, you have the ability, the power, the freedom to pursue that way to your heart's desire. And it therefore seems often these days that pretty much the only sin that one can recognize in our culture is to tell someone that they can't follow any way they want to go or any path that seems right to them. How dare you try to restrain their freedom with your dogmatic opinion? We think that any kind of restraint or restriction is a weight, an anchor, an effort to suppress our true freedoms to be and do whoever or whatever we want. Our reading from Proverbs this morning said, "There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death." I know a lot of people who are steadfastly determined to go their own way, to live life the way they want to live it. If you try to offer help or advice, they're going to get upset, sometimes, often, frankly, even offended. And what is the freedom that they are so desperate to pursue? Often it's the freedom to spend as much money as they want, disregarding the mountain of credit card debt that they might be piling up. Maybe it's the freedom to drink as much as they want, never minding the damage being done to their liver and their relationships with others. When I talk to my friends who live this way, they sure, frankly, seem happy and confident. They seem content, at least on the surface. But it also seems like there's an underlying sense of despair, of hopelessness, a realization that their desperate pursuit of this so-called freedom, it really isn't quite what they thought that it would be, that their lives are becoming damaged, maybe even to the point of no return. What they thought was unfettered freedom turned out to be slavery to their appetites and their whims. They look alive on the outside, but inside, they're slowly dying. How do we know whether we're following a way leading to death or to life? Well, one way to get a sense of that is to look at the results of your efforts. If every decision, every choice, every action is a seed that we plant in the soil of our lives, what is the harvest that you are reaping? Paul describes the desire to pursue unfettered freedom in the reading from Galatians as the desires and works of the flesh. And the result? Paul writes, "Now the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God." This list is an interesting one. In the midst of some of the more blatant and obvious sinful behaviors like sexual immorality, idolatry, sorcery, drunkenness, and orgies are also some more subtle, some more perhaps emotional consequences. When we pursue the works of the flesh, we find ourselves more prone to anger, jealousy, envy, rage, dissent, enmity, and strife. In the next chapter, Paul writes these words: "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever one sows, that will he also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life." Are we willing to admit that when we pursue our own ways, we are reaping death and destruction as a result? That more often than not, my life is a mess and a shambles because of my selfish pursuit of my own ends rather than God's? Following the way that seems right to me isn't the path to true unfettered freedom. It's the path to becoming a slave to my own appetites and impulses, a slave to death. The only way that leads to life, true life, for both the right now and in eternity, the time to come, is the way of Jesus. Jesus said, "I am the way." In Matthew 11, 28, he says, "Are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me. Get away with me and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace." I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. When I pursue my own way, I become a slave to myself. When I become a slave of Jesus, I find more and better life than I've ever dreamed of. The unforced rhythms of grace aren't heavy weights to hold me back or slow me down, but rather the yoke I need in order to truly live for Christ and others. Once we're willing to admit that the way that seems right to me is only going to lead to death and destruction, how do we follow the way of Jesus? Well, the way of Jesus is marked out for us by the Holy Spirit. Just as when you go hiking on a trail in the woods, you'll find blazed on the trees trail markers to help you stay on the right path, the Holy Spirit provides for us the trail markers for the way of Jesus. In Galatians 5, Paul encourages us to walk by the Spirit, be led by the Spirit, live by the Spirit, and then keep in step with the Spirit. The first trail marker along the way of Jesus is to walk by the Spirit. In Galatians 5, 13 through 16, Paul writes, "For you were called to freedom, brothers. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, watch out that you are not consumed by one another. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh." When we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we are set free from being slaves to sin, to our appetites, and a preoccupation with ourselves. Instead, as a result of accepting Christ, we are given the Holy Spirit to guide and direct us along the way of Jesus, which is the way of love. As we walk with the Holy Spirit, we are set free to truly fulfill the law through loving God and our neighbors as ourselves. Now, this isn't a kind of magical flipping of a switch that happens where suddenly we no longer struggle with our sinful nature, our selfish desires to feed our appetites. It's a process. It's a process that takes time. Sometimes it's a process of making leaps forward in spiritual maturity in Christ. Sometimes it'll feel more like taking two steps forward and one step back. Occasionally, it might feel like taking two steps forward and three steps back. But nevertheless, it is an ongoing process. Paul describes so beautifully his own struggle between walking with the Spirit and gratifying the desires of the flesh in Romans chapter 7. It's a marvelous, transparent explanation of that struggle that Paul articulates so well. As he talks about, I don't do what I want to do, and I want to do what I don't do, and I can't figure it out, and it's so hard. Darn it, it's hard. That's the paraphrase version. But he says it so well. And he wraps up that chapter with these words, "Wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, I myself serve the law of God with my mind, but in my flesh I serve the law of sin. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Jesus Christ from the law of sin and death." When we walk with the Spirit, when we strive to walk with the Spirit, we will follow along the way of Jesus. The second trail marker is to be led by the Spirit. In verses 17 and 18, Paul writes, "For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For those are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Think of this as the Holy Spirit being something like your spiritual GPS. Now, I'm quite fascinated that you'll hear these stories pop up on the news every once in a while about how blindly people trust and follow their GPS instructions, and how when a real-world situation comes up where the evidence of their eyes clearly tells them that the little electronic voice on their phone or their car is wrong, they will ignore what they see and continue on anyway. So you'll see pictures of cars that end up in the middle of a lake or a river because the GPS thought the road went on a cross when there clearly wasn't a road there. We had a case in where we lived in St. Louis where the road we lived on was under construction. Literally, they ripped the entire road out. There was literally no road there. So when they said road closed, the sign actually was quite literal about that. And the number of people that would drive around the road closed sign and try to get through where there was literally no road. The road ended and dropped 6 inches to dirt. And people kept trying. There was one lady who turned around in our court one day, and she was so confused, and I was doing some yard work, and she called me over and said, "I don't know where to go. My GPS told me I had to go this way." And I was like, I tried really hard to be nice. And I said, "It's okay, go back to the stoplight, turn left, and in about a quarter mile, your GPS will automatically reroute you and get you back where you need to go." "Are you sure?" I'm like, "It'll be okay." Isn't it funny how blindly we trust this electronic voice in our cars despite the evidence that we see to the contrary? And yet how hard it is for us to listen to the Holy Spirit and follow where the Holy Spirit is leading us in spite of the evidence in front of our eyes. Why do we trust a little electronic voice more than the voice of God? The GPS that we follow has no emotional investment in whether you do what it says or not. But what do we think the Holy Spirit is trying to do? Do you think the Holy Spirit is going to try to drown you in a river? No, baptism isn't drowning. That's not what I mean. Do we think that God is going to get us so lost that we can't be found? Do we not know that God has our best interests at heart and that we can trust where He is leading us, even if we can't see where we're supposed to go? Along the way of Jesus, the first trail marker is to walk with the Spirit, and the second is to be led by the Spirit. The third and fourth markers are found in verse 25. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. The third trail marker is to live by the Spirit. I think the way that God has designed fruit is fascinating. It's so cool. The fruit is both the result of what you plant and the thing that you plant to get the result. It's both all wrapped up in one cool little package. And that is also the way that it is in living by the Spirit. That which enables us to live by the Spirit is also the result of living by the Spirit. Paul writes in verses 22 and 23, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law." This list of things is the result that comes from walking with, being led by, and living by the Holy Spirit. But as we seek to cultivate these attributes within us, they also enable us to live by the Spirit as well. It's not something that you just passively sit by. "Well, I'm just going to stand here and wait till God gives me the fruit of the Spirit. I'll just wait anytime." Okay. It is something that we can pursue as well. As we pursue love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, we find ourselves living by the Spirit. The more we do that, the more we have those attributes and live by the Spirit as well. It becomes a self-perpetuating cycle. It's also worth noting that the Greek word for fruit is singular. This isn't a bunch of different kinds of fruit. All of these come with the fruit of the Spirit. We don't pick and choose these attributes. You don't get to go, you know what, I think I'll take a little bit of love with a side order of joy and a sprinkling of peace on top, but that patience thing, that's not for me. No thanks. And self-control, we'll save that for dessert. That's not how it works. It's a package deal. All of the fruit of the Spirit. All of these are cultivated in a believer's life when we live by the Spirit. And we know we're living by the Spirit when these attributes manifest in our hearts, in our souls, and in our relationships. The final trail marker along the way of Jesus is to keep in step with the Spirit. Over the past few months, my family and I have dealt with the quarantine, being stuck at home and trying to find some measure of sanity amidst all of the insanity by walking a few laps around our neighborhood every day. The hard part of doing that as a family, though, is that we all walk at different paces. For example, Peter, my son, is something of an Olympic speed walker, mostly because he's hoping to get it over with as quickly as humanly possible. Meg and I walk at a strong but steady clip, looking to get in a good cardiovascular workout and burn some calories, hopefully along the way. My wife is a little bit more of a stroller. She moves forward at a strolling pace. She wants to enjoy and savor the opportunity to be outside. Plus, maybe because she also has the shortest legs in the family. So as a result of this, it takes intentional effort by all of us in order to keep together, to stay in step with each other. But when we do stay in step with each other, we have a great time and enjoy each other's company very much. Keeping along the way of Jesus requires intentional effort on our part to keep in step with the Spirit. It is very easy for us to get out ahead of the Holy Spirit without realizing it, or to get distracted by something we see along the way and wander off and leave the Holy Spirit behind on the way of Jesus. And very often the Holy Spirit will allow us to do that, will wait patiently for us to realize we haven't kept step, we've wandered off, and wait for us to come back. The disciplines of the Christian faith are some of the tools that we've been given to help keep us in step with the Holy Spirit. Some of these disciplines include attending weekly corporate worship, such as we're doing right now, reading our Bible every day, spending time in prayer with the Holy Spirit each day, not just prayer where we talk at God, but where we sit in stillness and quiet to listen for that still small whisper guiding us each day. Taking time to study the Bible together with other believers, such as we just finished doing, reading through the entire Bible in 90 days as a congregation. But that's also why we have weekly Sunday school classes and small group Bible studies. All of these are very helpful disciplines that will work together to keep you in step with the Holy Spirit, walking together along the way of Jesus. These disciplines aren't about making us holy or working out our salvation. They are just tools to help us keep tuned in, to keep in step with the Holy Spirit in our lives. Brothers and sisters, we have all tried to follow the ways that have seemed right to us. Maybe you went off on a way that seemed right to you just last week. Are we willing to be honest with ourselves and with God that those ways have only led to death? There is only one way that leads to life and life eternal, and that is the way of Jesus. May God bless you. May God bless each one of us as we find that when we follow the way of Jesus by walking with the Holy Spirit, being led by the Spirit, living by the Spirit, and keeping in step with the Spirit, we find a freedom that enables us to truly love our neighbors as ourselves. Amen. Would you please pray with me? Lord God, we do thank you for the way of Jesus. We thank you even more for the gift of the Holy Spirit that you have given to every believer who has placed their faith, their hope, their life, their trust in you. Lord, would you continue to draw us closer to you? Would you continue to soften our hearts, to hear what the Holy Spirit has to say, to be tuned in to the way the Holy Spirit is leading so that we can walk with and live with and be led by your Spirit. Lord, thank you for your grace, for your forgiving us and your patience with us when we do follow our own path and wander in our own directions and ways. Thank you even more, God, that when we take 1,000 steps down the way that seems right to us, all we have to do is turn around and take one step to come back to you. Thank you, Lord, for marking out the way for us. By your Spirit, may we follow that way as we surrender all to you. In your Son's precious and holy name we pray. Amen.